So, hey, well, thanks very, very much. You can't tell from the shirt what the initiatives we're going to talk about mostly today. I don't think I'm going to be sneaking up on anybody going forward with this one, but I want to give you an update on a couple of fronts. Thanks to the voters, our initiative 1366 ended up passing last November, and that was a huge victory. That's the sixth time the voters said they wanted to make it tougher to raise taxes, and I think a lot of us should feel really proud that that has forced two votes down in Olympia. There was a vote in the House, a vote in the Senate. Every single Republican voted to refer to the ballot for this November a constitutional amendment making it tougher to raise taxes. Every Republican in the House, every Republican in the Senate. Not a single Democrat allowed the people to be able to vote for this constitutional amendment. Not a single one. And that's really mind-blowing. You have 50 Democrats in the House of Representatives. 40 of them are from swing districts that are overwhelmingly for the two-thirds. Not even one of them crossed over and said, you know what, on this one I'm going to represent my constituents. On this one I got to cross the caucus. Not a single one crossed over. But every Republican, even some of the ones that are a little squishy sometimes down in Olympia, they were channeling Ted Cruz in a lot of their floor speeches. They're talking about the right of the people. The people have voted six times for this. And my gosh, what do the people have to do in order for us to listen to them? So it was really gratifying to just see this unanimity among the party. And as we know, Republicans aren't always known for being unified. And so this is a really nice thing going into the 2016 election. Every single House member, every single senator is advocating for making it tougher to raise taxes, and not a single Democrat can say that. So it's a beautiful line of demarcation between the parties, and there is no muddying of the message whatsoever. The Republicans want to let the people decide for themselves whether or not they want to have it tougher to raise taxes. Not a single Democrat trusts the people enough to make that decision for ourselves.
Wow.
Beautiful, polarizing issue, and I think it's a very exciting thing. As far as the initiative itself, March 15th, we're before the state Supreme Court. The Attorney General's office job is to defend every initiative. But this is Bob Ferguson. I was thinking maybe grab a 19-year-old intern and draft up some little, you know, write-up on defending the initiative. Has done a stellar job. Far exceeded my expectations. He's done an excellent job defending our initiative. We didn't trust him, so we hired our own attorney to defend the initiative as well. And so we're really vigorously defending this initiative that the voters ended up voting on. So it's really kind of exciting. We're fighting in the courts. We're fighting in the legislature and trying to elect more Republicans. But really, where we win our fights is at the ballot box. That's where we really have the power. And what's really exciting about the initiative process is the vote itself has a tremendous lobbying effect on our elected officials. There's really nothing else you can really do when it comes to communicating with your elected officials on a topic than to be able to have a chance to vote on it. So what we've said is if they refuse to let us vote on a two-thirds for taxes constitutional amendment, we're going to do a different initiative that makes it tougher to raise taxes anyway. We've raised $1.2 million for this initiative, and it's very simple. The initiative says any tax increase the legislature passes is only good for 1 year. We're putting an automatic expiration date on any tax increase that they pass. So if they refuse to let us vote on a constitutional amendment, we're going to force them, allow the voters to have a chance to keep these guys on a short leash anyway. So that's our follow-up initiative, a really good initiative, but we haven't pulled the trigger for that one yet. Even though we have $1.2 million sitting in the bank ready to go with that one, we decided to say, let's find out what the courts do, let's find out what the legislature does, we're going to give them every opportunity to do the right thing. But if they do the wrong thing, we can't just sit back, you know, have our tail between our legs and moan and complain about the courts and how unfair the world is to all of us. Guess what? Politics, life's not fair. Sometimes you just have to keep coming back again and again and again. And if we've done it six times, can we do it seven?
Yep.
I think we can. So, what we're going to spend the rest of the time talking about, obviously ask any question that you want, but we've launched the Bring Back Our $30 Car Tax initiative. this initiative. We've already printed up petitions for it. You've all been signing petitions for it. We're just now getting out of the gate. We've raised about $100,000 for the initiative so far, have that sitting in the bank, ready to go. But this is a very, very exciting initiative. A couple of people mentioned to me that it sounded familiar, that maybe we had done this before, and maybe we had done it twice, and maybe we've done it three times, and yes, this will be the fourth time that we've done it. So that happens sometimes. You know, politics is very difficult, and we're in a constant tug of war. And every time we say we want $30 tabs, we have state and local governments saying, well, no, you didn't really mean $30, did you? $30 is a different kind of math with some elected officials. They don't quite understand it. So there's a really kind of condescending thing on the back of the shirt. I can't turn around for too long, but it says on the back and kind of in chalk or whatever, just to get you an image, it says math test for politicians. What's the only number that equals $30?
It's just the one number,
$30. So what we're doing is we're doing this bring back our $30 car test. What does it do? This is not rocket science, guys. $30 tabs means that whatever vehicle you own, you will register it for $30 from now on. Mm-hmm. Now, this is something you voted for in 1999, something you voted for in 2002. It's an initiative we did in 2006. It's very familiar to everybody. The thing that is deliciously fun about this year's Bring Back Our $30 Car Tabs is it guts like a pig sound transit. And that's what really makes it fun. This is by far the most unaccountable, arrogant government agency that we have in the state. Completely unaccountable. There's absolutely nobody in charge. They are coming to the voters this November asking for between $15 and $25 billion in additional taxes. And what they've learned over the years is that if they go to the voters in a presidential year, they will win. Because what they've done is they've created a completely gerrymandered district, which is guaranteed to overextend and overamplify the crazies from Seattle that offset all the sane people from outside of Seattle. So if we fought this thing through conventional warfare, which is a no campaign in the Puget Sound region, we would lose. So what we need to do is we need to leverage everybody in the state in order to be able to do this. We need everybody to have a voice in this. Because $15 to $25 billion, last time I checked, is a lot of money. And it impacts everybody in the state of Washington. When we're flushing down the rabbit hole, the black hole, which is Sound Transit, $15 to $25 billion, that is $15 to $25 billion we can't spend on anything else. And that is absolutely a bad idea. So what our initiative does, Sound Transit Phase 3, coming to the ballot this November, is a three-legged stool. They're asking you for higher property taxes, higher sales taxes, and higher car tab taxes, all in one big happy package. And they're going to ask you for that much money. Wow. And they're going to say, and we promise you, we're going to give you all this stuff that you're going to get for that amount of money. By us doing this statewide ballot, we're going to be on the same ballot as they are. And what that forces Sound Transit to do, they have to say, vote yes on our package, even though a third of it may very well go away if that dirty dog Imans initiative passes on the same ballot. And what the follow-up question will be, okay, if a third of the money goes away, what third of the projects are going to go away? And they're going to have to say, you know, we don't know yet, but give us the money and we'll figure it out later. This is the No on Sound Transit Phase 3 campaign. This is the way to stop Sound Transit Phase 3, by letting everybody in the state voting something that they already know, already love, already appreciate, and allowing everybody in the state to have a voice. Now, we've had this fight already. In 2002, we had this exact same fight taking on Sound Transit, and they whined and complained and said, it's not fair. Why are you letting everybody in the state be able to vote on this thing? That's just not fair. Well, what's not fair is the voters of this state voted to repeal Sound Transit's tax. That's what we, the voters, decided we didn't want. Yet, for the last 14 years, they've continued to collect this tax that the voters repealed 14 years ago. And this initiative takes it away once and for all and says, no, $30 means $30, and even Sound Transit has to actually abide by the law. So it's a very, very exciting initiative. Not only are we gutting Sound Transit Phase 3, making it tough for them to pass it, we also rip away a bunch of money that they're currently collecting from a tax we, the voters, repealed 14 years ago. They do not like this proposal. This is not a pro Sound Transit Phase 3 proposal. I love $30 tax. I love the idea of every voter in this state being able to register their vehicle for a flat rate, easy to understand, $30. But what gets me giddy is the idea of ripping the heart out of Sound Transit. This agency is so unaccountable, so rogue, so completely devoid of any reality that this is our one chance to be able to gut them like a pig. And that's what I really love about this initiative. So as I wrap up and answer any questions you have, but hold up your hands. Hold up how many petitions you want and all that. I think it's really, really important that we get a lot of people being able to help out with this. Another aspect of this, we do have these email updates that we send out to our supporters. They go out like twice a week, nothing too overwhelming. If you want to start receiving those, please sign up on this email list. Who isn't on it right now? Just name one person. Who doesn't get it? That young lady right there, she's beautiful. Will you sign up? Please have one person. Hand that out. These email updates are really fun. We've done a masterful job of being able to stop some of the worst bills down in Olympia just by encouraging people to send emails to their elected officials. It's really been powerful. Now, frankly, because voters voted for 1366 last year, this year's legislative session, the Republicans have been rock solid. They've been saying no to all tax increases, and that's been the ripple effect of the passage of that initiative. I'm terrified of next year's legislative session. I'm really frightened of it, and so that's why I think passing these initiatives year after year is by far the best way to hold them accountable. So, any questions at all? Throw anything you want, or yeah, you've got some. Go ahead and hit me with that one.
It says, how tough is it being so good looking?
Oh, hey. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Just trying to light the mood. So, okay. It's really tough. It's really, really tough.
I don't know what to do. We submitted many initiatives to the voters for approval. After they passed the vote, they seemed to get ruled against by the court for various reasons. Unconstitutional, multiple issues, single initiative. So the question for that is, who is writing these, and why aren't they vetted in thoroughly before they're presented to the voters?
A very, very good point. With every initiative that we do, it's a learning process. We've been doing these initiatives for 16 years, and every single initiative we've done has been legal, constitutional, 100% perfectly proper. We don't necessarily have the greatest judges in the state of Washington. They pretty much get to decide what's legal and what's constitutional. And I look at every single initiative that we put forward, and to me, I see a single subject. I see the all-encompassing idea of what each of them does. But all you can do is learn from your experience and move forward. Our first $30 TABS initiative was struck down based on the single subject rule, because we tried to require voter approval for all tax and fee increases in addition to $30 TABS. The second time we did the initiative in 2002, the Supreme Court upheld the initiative because all it did was $30 tax. So each initiative, we are learning from the process. Every single time we put forward one of these initiatives, we take an extremely amount of time researching them, examining them, trying to figure out what's the best way to be able to accomplish this goal. And last year's initiative, 1366, said we want to have a chance to vote on a constitutional amendment. This lower court judge said, I can't tell why voters voted for that initiative, so I'm going to strike it down.
What?
I don't know why. Now, I don't know why people voted for Jay Inslee, but that's no reason. But this is, I mean, our attorney general is a Democrat, and their brief to the Supreme Court is using words like silly, absurd, unprecedented to describe this lower court judge's ruling. So all I can say is we're doing the best we can with every initiative that we do. We're learning throughout the process, and we are ultimately getting what we want, but sometimes it's not always in the most linear fashion. Anybody else?
Any other questions?
Make up something. Craig, you know me, you love me. Make up a question. I'll turn it over to Bill. I do want to say that I'm really excited about this year. We have this initiative, Bring Back Our $30 Tabs. We have another initiative, again, that we've raised $1.2 million for. That's going to put a one-year time limit on tax increases. I think ultimately the voters will always get the policies that they want, but it's only if they're willing to work for them. And every time we pass one of these initiatives, there's a tremendously positive ripple effect. Absolutely. A tremendously positive ripple effect that occurs with it. Because elected officials, regardless of what the courts do, they hear what the voters are saying. They try and ignore it as best they can, but it is really hard when the voters end up voting for something over and over again. So we are learning from it, but ultimately I think, I had one reporter, it was really funny, he said to me, well, obviously the court is the final word on everything. And I said, that's not the way it works. The people are the final word when it comes to what policies we're gonna have.
Sir? That's right.
All I wanna say, Tim, is thank you very much. In 1997, we went to the Kingo and bought a big old motorhome. And my tabs were $1,500 a year.
Wow.
And I drove across the country, my young family and back, we had a great time, and I was just in a bad situation maintaining it and from a taxation point, you know, tabs. Thank you.
Well, appreciate that. And the rationale behind $30 tabs, I think, is really important, is that you pay a tremendously high sales tax when you buy a vehicle.
Yep.
You now pay one of the highest gas taxes when you drive that vehicle.
That's right.
The state is not entitled to a third bite at the apple, gouging you to death just for the privilege of owning a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the voters are already paying more than their fair share in a tremendously high sales tax, tremendously high gas tax. There's nothing wrong with one tax in the state of Washington being fair and reasonable for everybody in the state. Flat rate, everybody, regardless of what kind of vehicle you have. Craig, and then this gentleman over here.
Tim, can you tell us your estimation of how many tax dollars have been saved Washington taxpayers since you started doing these initiatives?
$30 tabs was by far the one where we saved the most amount of money. And it was the easiest math that you had. I mean, we're up to, like, $250 on my Ford 150 pickup truck now, and it used to be $30. So this initiative, I can do the math, $250 minus $30, $220 I would save. Overall, of all the initiatives we've done over the years, $30 tabs, limits on property taxes, we've checked with the state. The taxpayers have saved over $32 billion in taxes as a result of the initiatives that we've passed.
Oh.
But I believe that the greatest impact of our initiatives is not just the money you've saved, it's all the crazy tax increases they would have passed if we weren't out here banging the drum.
That's right.
How many times have I heard down in Olympia, yeah, we're thinking of raising this tax, but a dirty dog Iman, he'll probably do an initiative to overturn it, so maybe we shouldn't do that one. And I think that alone is, you can't quantify it, but you know that there is tons of crazy tax increases that didn't occur simply because they couldn't get a coalition, you know, worked up in order to be able to bring forward a tax increase just because they didn't want to have us play whack-a-mole on them. I think you had one.
The great thing about this is that you just made it easier for a bunch of people to do something legally, because all these kids that move over from Eastern Washington are actually going to use their home address instead of their parents' address to register their cars now.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I don't know if you remember this or not. Prior to 695, the initiative we did, how many Oregon plates you saw driving around in the state of Washington? You don't see that as much anymore, because once you get it down low, you don't have to evade it. So I'm really excited about Bring Back Our $30 Tabs. I mean, we've done like 16 initiatives. We've qualified all of them for the ballot, and every single one of them feels like my child. And asking me to choose which child do I love the most, you know, it's really hard because you love them all equally and everything. But $30 tabs, there's just something about it. It's like that kid that you've got that gets straight A's, gets all the girls, quarterback, you know, he's got the 4.0. Of course, you love all your kids equally, but he's kind of special. And $30 tabs is like that first child, that firstborn, that one that you fought for and you defended and you defended again and defended again. Wouldn't it be just fun to do it one more time? I mean, to be able to hear elected officials going, God, we're doing this $30 tabs again. I mean, geez, what's the big deal? And people got to realize the state government has increased these things called weight fees on your vehicle. And by the way, they say those aren't car tab taxes. Those are weight fees. See, those are different. That's one of my favorite lines. It's a different one. It's a different kind of money you pay with that one. Sound Transit, by far the biggest burden that is on your car tabs that you pay every year is because of Sound Transit. What Sound Transit's about to do to you this November would take you to pre-695 levels on car tabs. This is our chance to be able to stop Sound Transit once and for all. This is a really exciting initiative. I encourage you to get involved with it. As I walk away and Bill gives us a stirring speech running for governor, hold up your fingers and tell me how many petitions you want, and I will hand them out to you. But thanks a lot for having me. It was a lot of fun.